So, Jesus and the children. Well, hasn't this morning been amazing? I loved seeing the children up at the front. It's been great to see the children and young people in our church leading us in praise and worship today, and there's still more to come, which is really good. But I hope you feel blessed by that. I give thanks that this is a church that loves children dearly. Not long after joining this church back in 2009, we had our first child, Grace, and subsequently our other two as well. And our children have been deeply loved and nurtured in this place. They feel very much part of the church family, and that's a credit to all of you here today. Now, I don't think I need to persuade you, any of you, about the value of having children and young people in our church family, or the value that God places on them and the importance of allowing them to come to Jesus. But do we also believe that God can minister to us through them? That through our children and young people, God can draw us closer to him. I've shared the story before, but I'll share it again, that a couple of years back, when I was at Braintree, one of the things I wanted to introduce in the church services was just that, allowing children an opportunity to pray and to minister to us. And so I would encourage a child to pray for the church before they went out to their groups. And one morning, I'd forgotten to prepare this. So I thought, I'll just ask on the off chance to see if there are any children who'd like to pray for the adults. And as I asked, there was like a tumbleweed moment. You know those moments where you ask and then it's just like silence. And nobody's moving, nobody's putting up a hand, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, I'm probably going to have to do this myself. Then a little hand went up, and it was Emma, our Emma. Now, for those of you that have seen Emma in recent weeks, you'll think, well, yeah, Emma likes praying up the front. Well, actually, she didn't to begin with. She was very shy and very nervous. And for me to see her hand up was quite something. So I thought, okay, let's do this. So I invited Emma up. And as Emma took the microphone, she said, Lord, make them hungry. And then she carried on praying and she'd said something else. And after she'd prayed, what I heard in the congregation was, aww, that's nice, isn't it? You know? But I took that moment because that moment was very precious, because I said to the congregation, do you know that God just spoke to you then? Do you know that by his Holy Spirit, he has just spoken to you through Emma's prayer? Are you hungry today? Are you hungry to receive what God has for you today? Are you hungry for his word? And you know, a number of people felt really moved. And the Holy Spirit ministered to the church. And a number of people were in tears. And they felt really moved. And afterwards they said to me, wow, I'm glad you said that, because I felt something when Emma prayed that prayer. I felt it. Are we prepared to allow young people and children to minister to us, that God can use them powerfully? I was really keen this morning, as we explore Jesus' encounter with children, to not only allow our children and young people to come to Jesus freely, uninhibited, if I can get that word out, but through this, to minister to us, to lead us in praise and worship, to draw us closer to God through them. And I believe we've seen that already today, haven't we? Yeah? I really do believe we've seen that today. And in today's story, Jesus says two things about the children. Firstly, he says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. This shows God's great love of children and how much he values them. Like us, they are made in the image of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, knitted together in their mother's wombs, and dearly loved by him. However, as we see in today's passage, children were not seen as valued members of society. They were often lumped in with the women and the outcasts, downgraded and overlooked. You may have heard of the phrase, seen but not heard. Any of you had that spoken over you in your childhood? I know I have. And the disciples must have taken on this cultural mentality as they felt Jesus' time was way too important for the little children to have any of it. And despite how far we've come in the 21st century, we can still see this mentality playing out in society. We can even see it sometimes in our churches. A number of times I have spoken to children after the service, and I would encourage you to do the same. Find out what they've been up to. Thank them for what they've contributed this morning. But a number of times I've spoken to children after the service, and the amount of times I've had an adult come up to me and speak over the children to me as if they weren't there, as if they're less valuable. Now, I'm sure the adults that do that don't intend to say that about the children, but that is exactly what you do when you see a child talking to an adult and you talk over them to the adult as if the children's conversation isn't really that important. Please don't do that. And please, more than that, can I encourage you to make time for the children after the service? Don't just get into your huddles and groups. Go and ask them how they are. What have they been up to? How can I pray for you this week? How can you pray for me this week? Let's not overlook our children. In the story today, Jesus was very clearly and very publicly reinstating the value of children in what he said and the way in which he welcomed them. And this is what we've seen him doing time and time again through this preaching series that we're going through at the moment. How he reinstated the dignity of the scandalous Samaritan woman at the well. How he had mercy on the Roman centurion's servant, a Gentile, not a Jew. And how he welcomed Mary to sit at his feet and become a disciple, even though she was a woman. And all these encounters build up a picture of the kingdom of God, where the first will be last, and the last, those overlooked and shunned by society, will be first. There is a place for them in God's kingdom. So that's the first thing that Jesus says about children. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The second thing that Jesus says is that anyone who will receive the kingdom of God like a little child, unless they receive it like a little child, will never enter it. So what does this mean? Well, I think this is about posture. When we think about children, especially little children, they come with no agenda. They come incredibly trusting, open, and playful. On Thursday morning at the ARC, our toddler group and play group, I popped over to say hello to everyone, to the parents and the children, and I got involved in a football game I wasn't expecting to play with one of the toddlers there. It was brilliant. Of course, she was much better than me and scored plenty of goals. But that was it. She had a ball. She came up to me. Want to play? Yeah, let's play. And we had a really great football game. Children are often incredibly trusting of people they don't particularly know, open and playful. But the adults of Jesus' time were always coming to him with an agenda. And it's easy for us to approach God in the same way. But the little children aren't coming with an agenda. Their parents were bringing them to Jesus to be blessed. But the children are not coming to get something from Jesus or in a bid to prove themselves to him. They come simply as they are to receive his love and blessing. And Jesus is keen to give it. And this tells us something about God's grace. In another account of today's story, Jesus' friends were arguing. Who was the most important helper in God's kingdom? They wanted to know. I am, James said. No, you're not, said Peter. I am. Nonsense, Matthew said. I'm the cleverest. No, you're not. Yes, I am. Yes, no, me too. This silliness went on for ages. You see, Jesus' friends had started thinking they had to do something to make themselves special to Jesus. That if they were the cleverest or the nicest or something like that, then Jesus would like them the best. But they had forgotten something. Something God had been teaching his people all through the years. That no matter how clever you are, or how good you are, or how rich you are, or how nice you are, or how important you are, none of it makes any difference. Because God's love is a gift. And as anyone will tell you, the whole thing about a gift is it's free. All you have to do is reach out, open your hands, and receive it. So while Jesus' friends were arguing, some people who knew all about getting gifts, in fact, you might say they were gift experts, had come to see Jesus. Who were they? They were little children. We remember what the Apostle Paul says. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. So often we try and earn God's favor, don't we? But in using children as an example to them, of how to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus is reminding all the adults, he's reminding each of us, particularly all of us who think we're very important and well accomplished, that God's love and salvation is not something we can earn with good works. We can't buy it with money. It's a gift we simply receive. Just like a child receiving a present at Christmas that they always wanted but never dreamed they'd get. The gift is God's to give. It's about who he is and what he's done through Jesus on the cross. We can't earn it, but we can receive it. Jesus is encouraging each of us to be childlike this morning. And children are very trusting, they're very open, they're very playful. They're coming to Jesus because they're excited to see him and they want to spend time with him, to play, to have fun. They're not coming with an agenda or because they think they're good enough. They simply want to spend time with Jesus and receive all that he has for them. One of my children often prays. When we pray at night, she says this: "Dear God, how's your day been?" How often have you said that to God? Ever wondered what his day's been like before you start telling him about yours? I love the fact that she says that. "Lord, how's your day been?" I love that. Do you know why? Because it talks of a two-way relationship, not just us coming with our agenda, telling God what we want, what we need, what he should be doing for us. But God, what do you want? How's your day been? Your will be done. I'm going to finish with the last part of this story. You see, children loved Jesus, and they knew they didn't need to do anything special for Jesus to love them. All they needed to do was to run into his arms. And so that's just what they did. Well, after all the laughing and games, Jesus turned to his helpers and said, "No matter how big you grow, never grow up so much that you lose your child's heart, full of trust in God. Be like these children. They are the most important in my kingdom." We're going to have a prayer now, and we've got some slides. If you want to close your eyes and open your hands in an open posture, then please do. There are also going to be some pictures on the screen, and if you'd like to look at those as we pray, then please do. So here is a gate done by an artist called Paul Hobbs, and I've met him recently. He's a lovely chap, and this was an art piece that he produced called The Narrow Gate. Many of us will know that passage. And as he set it out in the exhibition, guess who interacted with it most? The children. I don't know if this is working, but the children. Can we have the next slide? This doesn't seem to be working. There we go. So maybe you want to stare at that picture as we pray. Maybe you want to close your eyes, open your hands. But whatever you do, let's open our hearts to God as the children do. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love the little children. When everyone was pushing them away, ignoring them and telling them to get lost, you said, "I have come to seek and save the lost." We thank you that your heart is for all those who are overlooked, undervalued, used and abused, pushed out and bullied. We thank you that you demonstrated this as you rebuked your disciples and brought the children near to you, as you held them tightly in your arms, hugged them, and blessed them. We pray you'd forgive us when we have treated children like the disciples did, instead of like you. And we pray that you'd bring healing where we have been mistreated and marginalized like these children. We praise you and thank you that you love children dearly and that the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Help us to receive your gift of love and salvation like little children, to trust you with all our heart, to desire to spend time with you with no agenda other than to be one with you. Increase our playfulness. Increase our openness. increase our boldness, that we may fully enter into your kingdom and all that you have for us, both here in the life, both here and in the life to come. In your name we ask it. Amen.